Hello, my name is Ed Frawley. One of my passions is detector dog training, probably because I did my first narcotics training video back in the late 80s. I worked, because I loved it so much, I worked as a canine handler on our local sheriff's department and with a drug task force for 10 years. Training has changed a lot over the years, and in this video that you're going to see takes an article that I wrote and it animates it and talks about the mistakes that detector dog trainers use when they use Kongs and tennis balls for reward items on their dogs when their dogs get into odor. And lots and lots and lots of trainers use these items. They use Kongs, they use tennis balls, and they shouldn't be doing it. And there's very good reasons why they shouldn't be doing it. And this little animated video is going to explain exactly why.
If you're a detector dog handler, you know the reward is, well, it's everything, right? It's the whole engine that drives the search. Now, we're always told to use these super high-value, exciting toys. But what if the most popular ones, the ones everyone grabs, are actually holding your dog back? That's what we're digging into today, the hidden danger lurking in your dog's reward toy. So let's just get right to it and ask the big question. Is the toy you're using to reward your dog actually sabotaging your training? I mean, really think about it. For so many trainers who rely on those common off-the-shelf options, the answer, believe it or not, might just be yes. Okay, let's dive into the trouble with these toys. The problem really starts with the ones that are pretty much universally recommended. You know, things like Kongs and tennis balls. They seem like a no-brainer for getting a dog fired up, but they come with some serious, and I mean serious, disadvantages in the very specialized world of detection work. We can really boil these problems down into three main buckets. First, you've got straight-up physical safety risks to your dog. Second, there's the huge issue of training contamination. And third, there's a fundamental conflict with other training you're probably doing, like obedience. So let's break each of these down. First up, let's talk safety. When you take a high-drive dog and you reward it by chucking a toy that bounces all over the place, you're basically creating a recipe for disaster. That unique shape of a Kong, for instance, it's designed to be unpredictable, and that can cause a dog to completely lose track of its surroundings. We've seen some horrible accidents, dogs running right through plate glass windows, or getting spiral fractures from twisting the wrong way. It's just not worth it. And hey, the risks aren't just with Kongs. Let's talk about the good old tennis ball. There's a really serious danger of ingestion. And vets will tell you, the surgery to get a swallowed tennis ball out of a dog's gut, it's not only invasive, but it's wildly expensive. We're talking around $4,000. That's a massive price to pay for a reward. And on top of that, there's a long-term health risk. You know that fuzzy surface on a tennis ball? Well, it acts just like sandpaper, especially once it picks up some grit and dirt. Over time, this can literally wear away your dog's precious dental enamel, which leads to some really painful and expensive dental problems down the line. So, beyond the physical stuff, there's a problem that's unique to what we do in detection work. Contamination. See, if your dog starts to associate the reward with the material of the toy itself, like that specific rubber in a Kong or the felt on a tennis ball, you are in a world of trouble. There's a famous case where a dog alerted on a whole bushel of tennis balls found in a rental car. The dog wasn't wrong. It was just alerting on its reward object, not the target odor you trained it for. And this brings us to the third major issue, conflicting goals. In obedience work, you use a toy to get the dog to focus on you, the handler, right? But in detection, you need the exact opposite. You need a dog that works independently, away from you, focused only on finding that odor. If you use the same toy for both, you can end up with a confused dog that finds the source and then immediately runs back to you for the reward. That's a huge problem. So if these super common toys are actually so problematic, what's the alternative? I mean, what do the pros use to build these reliable, independent, and safe detector dogs? Well, the solution is surprisingly simple, and it's probably not what you're expecting. You see, the answer isn't about finding some better designed, more expensive, fancy new dog toy. The real key here is to step away from that whole mindset and start using a tool that's actually built for the job we're doing. Yeah, you heard that right. It's a simple rolled up cotton towel. That's it. This incredibly humble household item is the preferred reward for so many top tier trainers, and they use it for very, very strategic reasons. It basically solves every single problem we just talked about. So why on earth does a simple towel work so much better than an expensive, specially designed toy? Let's take a look at the strategic advantages that make this the superior choice for any serious detection training program.
This table really breaks it down, and the differences are pretty stark. Look at safety. You've got the high risks of a Kong's erratic bounce or a tennis ball being swallowed versus the towel, which is super low risk because it just stops dead. Then there's control. That unpredictable flight path of a Kong is a liability. A towel stops right where you throw it, every single time. Financially, it's a total no-brainer. And here's the big one for us, contamination. It is so much easier to proof a dog off of something as common as cotton than it is to proof them off the unique rubbers and plastics in commercial toys.
So here's the absolute game changer. When you use a towel that's scented with the target odor, the dog starts to believe the towel is the target. It becomes what some trainers famously call the cocaine squirrel, this ultimate prey item that the dog is desperate to hunt down. This builds an incredibly powerful, independent desire to find the source.
And the advantages just keep stacking up. A towel taps right into the dog's natural prey sequence, that chase, retrieve, and even dissect. This builds amazing perseverance at the find. And like we said, it dramatically cuts down on false alerts. Plus, for you, the handler, it's just way, way easier to handle and control that whole reward moment.
Okay, but here's the critical piece of nuance. While the towel is, for sure, a superior tool, great dog training is never, ever a one-size-fits-all deal. You absolutely have to match the reward system to the specific dog that's sitting right there in front of you.
To do that right, we need to understand the two main frameworks. First is the primary system, which is what we've been talking about, where the scented towel itself is the reward. The secondary system is different. That's where the reward, usually food, is given by the handler and is totally separate from the search object itself.
So how do you know which one to use? Well, for a dog with that really high prey drive, the primary system with a scented towel is almost always your best bet. It builds that intense, independent hunt, and you dodge all those safety issues from something like a Kong. But what if your dog is a total shredder or just has a low prey drive? Then you might need to switch to a food-based secondary system to keep them motivated and manageable.
The bottom line is this. A good trainer has to be flexible. You have to adapt. If your dog just will not engage with a towel, don't force it. You might need to try something else, like a tug, maybe a piece of wood, or even PVC pipe, really anything that helps you avoid the contamination and safety traps of a standard commercial toy like a Kong.
And that really brings us to our final thought here. The choice between a Kong and a towel isn't just about the object. It's about questioning the assumptions that drive our methods. So we'll leave you with this question to chew on. What other hidden assumptions, things that have just been passed down without question, might be shaping your training today?